Let's pray. We thank you, O Lord, for your word to us. It is light for our path. It is food for our soul. May it be so for us this morning. Amen. You may want to keep your Bibles open as we look at this passage about John the Baptist and Zechariah's song. But I want to begin by just thinking about something that Jill posted on Facebook recently. Jill often posts articles in her area of passion and expertise on the spiritual health and well-being of families. And the main points of the article that she posted this week was that one marker of a healthy and resilient family is that those families have a sense of identity. They have an awareness of who they are, and they have a story to tell about their family life, a narrative to draw upon. You see, those families have encountered some of the big questions of life and have a shared experience of how they have been answered. They know who they are, and they know what's important, and they are equipped to respond to the ups and downs of life. And I realise that one of the joys of my family life at the moment is that we have children who are beginning to launch out on their own. It's one of those scary experiences. And our eldest daughter, Anna, is currently on a path of ministry as an intern at Thatcham Baptist Church. And it's a delight at the moment. From time to time, I get a Facebook message or something, and she's saying, "Hey, Mum, Dad, remember when you did that? Remember this bit happened all those years ago? I understand now. Can you tell me about that? Can you give me some advice?" You see, she's drawing on some of the stories and the big questions that we've had and shared with her across the years. But it's not just families, it's also churches. And one of the great delights I have about being here at St. Nick's is that from time to time I get to preach from here. And many, many years ago, right here, there was a man called Julius Palmer, and his heresy trial, before he was burnt at the stake in the time of Queen Mary, took place about here. In this place, and within our church family history, we have right here big questions that have been asked about what we believe and what is important, and about the cost of faith. John Wesley, we all know who John Wesley was. He preached from that pulpit. It wasn't there, it was probably on that pillar there at the time. But he preached from that pulpit. And that speaks to one of the stories of our church family history that connects us with one of the greatest revivals of the Spirit in this land. A time when the gospel connected with the hearts of the people and caught fire even in the midst of dull, stale and lifeless religion. Right here, literally right here, are questions about what church is all about and what we long for and pray for our culture and our society. So these stories, these questions that have been asked and answered have value. There's promise in them. There's purpose. There's something that stirs us to live to lives that are more than just lurching from day to day and week to week. There's something in this legacy that awakens us to a true mission that's beyond ourselves and yet crucial to who we are. Now, all of this is a long way of introducing us to our passage today, because we have some work to do when we come to our particular passage today, and we need something to do that work with. You see, today we come to an enigmatic figure in the story of the gospel, John the Baptist. And here's one of the things I used to ask about John the Baptist when I was younger. What's he there for? I mean, we're opening up Luke's gospel, the gospel of Jesus. And as we read it, we're thinking, oh, well, I expect to encounter Jesus, and we do. I expect to hear about his birth, and we do. But here we are, we get to this story, and all of that story about Jesus is wrapped up in this man, this old priest Elizabeth and his wife Zechariah, and their strangely miraculous son John, who goes on, has a brief encounter with Jesus, and then gets killed by a king. And you go, what's he there for? What's he doing? And I think it's this. He's connecting the person of Jesus with the deep questions and stories of God's people. If Jesus is the answer, John the Baptist is helping us to know what the question is. And he's certainly helping to know what the question is for God's people at the time. Jesus comes on the scene as this disruptive, life-giving, in-breaking, uprooting, spirit-filling, anger-stirring, Holy Spirit-anointing Saviour. But it's John that paves the way, who reaches into the deep story of God's people at the burning questions that they have been asking and shows who Jesus is, so that this disruptive, in-breaking, life-giving person can be recognized by his people. So take a look with me. We've been looking at Luke chapter 1 and we started at verse 57. But the story of John actually begins a little bit further earlier in the chapter. And in verse 16 we are told about who John the Baptist is. He says of John that he will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah. Listen to that for a second. Like all the prophets, he will call the people to God in spirit and in power. But it's not just some disconnected spirit and power. It's described as the spirit and power of Elijah. And Elijah is one of those deep stories of God's people. In the time of Elijah, the question that was being asked was a question about idolatry, the worship of pagan gods that demanded child sacrifice, and whether or not God's people would tolerate that. In the time of Elijah, the question was about the power of God. Was God more powerful than the gods of the other nations? In the time of Elijah, the question was about whether God's people would remain faithful, or would they cooperate with the oppression of the vicious Queen Jezebel? In the midst of a dark and callous time of God's people, the story of Elijah is about them being awakened to burn with holy fire. So John is going to connect Jesus with that time. As if we can say, remember Elijah? Remember what we faced back then? We need that question and we need that answer. It's like us saying, remember John Wesley? Remember that time of renewal? Remember how he had a message that connected with the hearts of people in the midst of self-serving religion? Oh, we must face those questions again. We must have those answers again. The deep questions are connected with the answer. John is connecting Jesus with the story of Elijah and pointing the way. John points the way. And consider the song of Zechariah that we've looked at this morning. Zechariah sings this song after John is born as a prophecy in song. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel. Verse 68 of Luke chapter 1. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, to show mercy to our ancestors, to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham. And there is so much here. There is so much of the longing and the promise that God's people are looking for. The hope in this song is to reconnect to these stories of old. The time of King David, when the one who ruled on the throne had the heart after God's own. The time of Abraham and the deep promises of God when he committed to his people that he would bless them so that they would be a blessing to the world. And those deep questions break forth in John. How are we going to have this? How are we going to grasp that? And John points the way. There is one who's coming after me who will baptize you with fire. In some way, the song of Zechariah is incredibly poignant. Here is one of the priests of the temple who is seeing God's people being a shadow of who they are called to be, emptied of power and oppressed by outsiders, stumbling along in weakness and shallowness of faith. And now the birth of this child connects them with the deep reservoirs of hope and purpose, so that people can dare to believe in the presence of God again. And they look to be enabled to serve him with fear in holiness and righteousness. Suddenly these questions have become answerable again, graspable again, as John points the way. And no wonder Zechariah sings, "You, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High. You will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him." And so this enigmatic, strange person at the beginning of the gospel becomes a gift to us by asking these questions that need to be asked. And we can take a look at that. What can we take from the witness of John the Baptist? One of the things we can easily take from the witness of John the Baptist is simply the fact that he points the way to Jesus. When we look at John the Baptist, we can follow his pointing finger and we encounter a Saviour. We come to Jesus, who is the horn of salvation from the house of David. We come to Jesus, who is the rescuer of an oppressed people. We come to Jesus, who enables his people to serve God in holiness and righteousness. We can follow the pointing finger of John and we can see the answer, and that is a blessing to us. But we also learn from John how he prepares us for that answer, how he raises the right questions and connects us with the right depths. And that is actually a really good thing to do in this season of Advent, a season when we are meant to be being prepared. Some might say that we also need the spirit of Zechariah's song, that we may not be a shadow of who we are called to be. And the thing is, it's not because we don't have the answer. We have Jesus. We have his gospel. We have his church. The thing is, I'm not quite sure if we know what to do with them. We have the answer, but are we aware of the question? I run into this all the time when I'm interacting with people who are outside the church, because we're very quick to come to people and say, "Jesus is the answer." And the world looks at us and goes, "Great, what's the question?" And at that point, we stumble a bit and we go, "I don't know, but Jesus is the answer. But what's the question?" This is where we struggle. This is where we go, "Lord, how will you prepare us to know what to do with the Jesus that we discover?" For instance, some of us, when we wrestle with the questions of life, we might go, "Is the question about peace and prosperity? Well, if that's the question we are wrestling with, then Jesus is a strange answer to that question, because he is often found amongst the poor, and he uses the weak to confound the strong. Perhaps the question of life is about how we can be successful as individuals or as a church, how we can nurture our talents and do good things for God. Perhaps, but if that's the question, Jesus is a strange answer, because he is one whose victory lies in death on a cross. And his call to us is not to be successful, but to surrender and to take up our own cross. He says those who seek to save their life will lose it. Jesus is the answer, but what's the question?" And the Word of God one of the things the Word of God does to us is to provoke in us those deep questions that we are struggling to find the answer for. And the Word of God in John the Baptist does that for us today. So as we finish, I just want to go to three things that we see in Zechariah's song that may provoke in us the sort of questions that were being provoked in God's people in John's time. And firstly, I want to do this. Look at verse 77. Zechariah sings and talks about John who comes to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. Here is a statement that connects us with the questions of a deep story. And it may sound morose, but the healthiest Christian families and the healthiest churches understand this question and this part of the story. The knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of sins. The question that provokes is this: how have we sinned? For what do we need forgiveness? If Jesus is forgiveness, then what is the question that receives the answer in our lives? Can I tell you, I very rarely hear this question being asked. Someone said, there is a little Donald Trump in all of us that says, I've done nothing wrong. And I know that I've been in this church for 2.5 years, and I don't know where we've asked this question. Lord, where have we sinned? For what do we need forgiveness? Yet there is the answer that Jesus provides. Where are we being prepared to receive that answer? How are we asking that question? The second thing that John does to stir us, look at verse 78. He says this, Zechariah says, through the tender mercy of our God will come, the rising of the sun will come to us from heaven. The tender mercy of our God. And it may sound juvenile, but the healthiest Christian families and the healthiest churches understand this part of the story about being recipients of God's tender mercy. And the question that rises up in us is this: who do I trust? Because you see, when life is dark, we have this tendency not to believe in mercy. We have this tendency not to trust God. We would rather believe in self-justification and self-reliance, and we call it maturity and being grown up. But the answer is this. The answer is that we rely on the mercy of God. We put our lives into His hands because He is merciful. Yet when we cling to ourselves, we prove that age-old proverb that the opposite of faith is not doubt, it's control. So we get brought back to the question for which Jesus really is the answer. Verse 79, Zechariah sings about John bringing us to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death. And it may sound idealistic, but the healthiest Christian families and the healthiest churches understand this part of the story, that the goal and passion of the Christian gospel is about bringing light to this world. And the question that raises up within us is this: what do I dream about? Because as we wrestle with that question, we wrestle with our tendency, the fact that our normal answer is me. I dream about me. I dream about us. I dream about who we can become. But when we wrestle with that question, we are brought to the fact that there is heartbreak for this world. There is joy in this world, but there is darkness. And the persistent call upon us, the answer that Jesus provides, the way He puts forward, is for us to go into that darkness and shine. Without wrestling with this question, the any answer we proclaim is just a subtle way in which we serve ourselves for the sake of ourselves. But if we wrestle with these questions about sin, about mercy, and about shining in the darkness, we understand how Christ is the answer. He is our forgiveness. He is the one we surrender to. He is the one whose heart calls us to go to the lost. So you can see what John is doing for us today. He's doing what he did back then. He's preparing us. He's giving us the questions to ask that have the answer in Christ. He takes us to the heart of who we are. He takes us to our longings. He takes us to our stories. He takes us to the place where we didn't even realize we were avoiding our responsibilities. He takes us to the place where our spark has run dry. And so He prepares us. He dries us out. He makes us tender that will catch the fire of the Holy Spirit when the one who is to baptize us comes along. John prepares us to meet Jesus so that we can sing with Zechariah, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and he has redeemed us." Amen.